Good
morning.
Good afternoon to all of you. Good evening. One
good
of
evening.
These days I'll catch up on the thing. So let us begin. We have section 16 of Parasha Noach from the Zohar, and we're beginning at verse 128. And we'll start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kutshab Rechu Ishkim Tebib Hilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'akda L'shem Yudhe Bavate B'Yichuda Shilim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Le'imud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kononei Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kononeihu Tachatzei ha'ekets ko basar gemad dekukidush kishura ishtekach le'ela bechedu bechidu o hakena me'letata bechedvata uruta Please tapka pola leila witata weima kaima alaihu Israel ki kaya. Come and see. This end of all flesh means that the attachment takes place in joy above, in Bina and in Arifanpin. The same applies below to Zeranpin, the female principle, and the lower worlds. And the attachment of every lower grade to every upper one occurs in happiness and in a desire to share fulfillment with everything above and below, even to the end of all flesh. And Ima, who is the Shekhinah, dwells properly upon Israel. Questions, comments, thoughts. No questions. Nobody wants to comment? Do you know what the end of all flesh means?
I have a question, comment, that, so are they talking about that when no one exists in flesh on the earth anymore or any dimension, that it's all spiritual?
No.
Is that like end of times?
No. They're talking about the beginning of times, where there was no one on the earth because it was all in the spiritual potential level. And how does it come down to the lower levels? And what is the meaning of coming down to the lower levels? And what are the code words that are being used? We are talking about, in this whole section, we're talking about the upper worlds. We're talking about Arichanpin, which is Keter, in a full structure of 10 Sephirot. Now, this particular verse is saying there is something called an end of all flesh. And it means that the attachment takes place in joy above, in Bina and Arichanpin, which is the three levels of the unknown head that was discussed in earlier verses in this section, the unknown head, the head of the air, and the Arisan Pin level. What is being talked about in that area is that when those three become unified, the flow comes down to all of the levels. And it is only received by the people, the essence, the vessels who are in joy, who are in a state of joyfulness. Without joy, you cannot receive God's goodness. That is what is being expressed here. And the end of all flesh represents the negative system. And what it's saying that is, if you are joyful, then even the end of all flesh will unify with you and support you in what you are doing. And that's where you get the adage that comes through the Talmud and in many different places in the Jewish writings. You have this sense or this statement that if you want to go to the negative system, Hashem supports you. And if you want to do positive things, Hashem supports you. But aren't we supposed to be good? Aren't we supposed to follow the Torah? Aren't we supposed to stay away from the negative system? How do we understand that Hashem is such a capricious, God forbid, a creator, that if he doesn't really care whether you go and create evil and negativity, he's going to support you. He's going to give you the energy to do that. How do we understand that? Hashem is not like that. He doesn't want us to do that, but he supports us if that's what we want to do. So how do you analyze that? How do you handle that? How do you understand that? And that's a question for you to answer. You can do it now or another time.
Well, you've given me something to think about.
Well, that's what I'm here for. You know that.
Right.
Should I go on, or do you want to talk more about this?
No, go on.
Okay. Malcolm, I know you're there. Are you comfortable going on also?
Yes, sir.
Verse 120. You were muted. I understand.
Yes.
Verse 129. Tachate bikol reishe yarcha v'yarcha katzichara mitchacha Yahavin Leya Lehaiketz Kobasar Hukachadayatir Al Karbanin Beit Aska Beyavishta Mash Behulakeya Vihe Sidra the Israel Bilchodaihu Begin the Yitachadun, the Malkachon, the Daihu, Sair begin the Hu, the Hulaka, the Esav, Dikti Beya Sair Kena Sar Esav Achish Sair Vial Daihu Ishtamash Behu Akeya Israelinun Mishtamshin Behu Lakyebom Ugin Kach Ketiv Ki Yaakov Bechar Lo Ya Yisrael Yisgulato. Come and see. Every first day of the month, when the moon renews herself, or in other words, the female principle renews herself by mating with Zeranpin, then the end of all flesh is given an extra portion, which is the scapegoat of the moon. The scapegoat of the new moon, which is added to the regular sacrifices. Thus he is occupied by it and uses his portion. So the new moon scapegoat renews the illumination of the left side, from which the end of all flesh is replenished. Hence, the right side of Israel remains for them alone, so that they can unify with their king. This is why they offer the scapegoat, also called Heri. The Hebrew word is Seir, which has the meaning of Mount Seir, where Esav lived, and it has the meaning of a goat, because it belongs to the part of Esav, which is described as being hairy, as it is written, Esav, my brother, is a hairy, Seir, man. Thus the end of all flesh uses his part of Esav, which is the left side, while Israel uses their part, which is the right. Thus it is written, for Yah has chosen Jacob to himself, Israel for his peculiar possession. The translation peculiar possession is the phrase Am Segula. And Am Segula gets mistranslated all the time. It's usually in the Christian Bibles it's translated as the chosen people. But its literal translation is Am, which means people or nation, and Segula has no direct translation. But there is a vowel, the Segol vowel, and there is a Segula can be related. There is some things that indicate that it's related to the color purple. So what is the Am Segula? The Kabbalah explains that Am Segula is the people of the three-column system, because the vowel Segula is composed of three dots in the shape of a triangle. So now I can ask, does anybody have any questions or comments?
The circle, the three dots, kind of reminds me of part of David's shield, you know, the upper walls and lower walls. That just came to my mind, like a triangle. That's
exactly
my thought.
If you have a vision of the tree of life, it's composed of three groups of three,
mm-hmm.
with Malchut being the tenth. You have the upper, which is Keter, Hachma, and Bina, a group of three. You have the lower, which is Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. And then you have the middle three, which is Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet.
Mm-hmm. the other reading, the prior about the scapegoat, we had studied that a couple of weeks back, I believe. You know, being
yes,
the sacrifice
did.
Of the first month. So I remember that teaching.
Right. And now you're seeing it in a different presentation, but it's
right.
Essentially the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When there is unity, joy increases. People become happier. The light is revealed, and that light fulfills people's desires, and they're happy. There's no lack.
Right.
So they're happy. And even the negative system is fulfilled, because in order to keep him away from Israel, they give him what he wants. They give him something to fulfill his reactive nature. The adage, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. So
right.
Satan is reactive. If he's given something, he's going to take it because he doesn't have to work for it. Does that sound like human beings?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Yeah. If somebody
I
is given
just...
something, go ahead, Maka.
I see at this point what we're just speaking about, the left side is meets their desires with the scapegoat, the first of the month, sacrifice, and also the right is also satisfied because they're left alone. We don't have the negative energy attacking the right side. So I see there's balance there. There's a balance in this activity. And this, in giving the scapegoat as the sacrifice for the new moon or the first of the month,
right?
So they're both received their desires. So I see balance. I see Tiferet, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I can go on to verse 130.
Okay.
Tachate hai ketz ko basar koruteya lavihu ela bevisra tadir ugin kach tikuna bevisra tadir. Begabeya bealda ikre ketz ko basar vekadihu shalit al gufa vela al nishmata salka leyatra uvisra ityahav leatar. Da bekegavna, da bekarvana, diruta salka, la atar had uvisra, la atar had. Come and see, the sole desire of this end of all flesh is flesh alone. All that is done with the flesh in any instance is only for his sake. That is why he is called the end of all flesh. And when he rules over the body, which is the flesh, but not over the soul. The soul returns to its place, while the body, namely the flesh, is given over to this place, namely the end of all flesh. It is the same with the offering, as the desire goes to one place and the flesh to another. Questions, comments, thoughts?
My thoughts are that the soul returns to its original creator, and the negative side is trying to get the energy of that flesh, whatever it can absorb from that flesh, and is also trying to use the flesh to enter, you know, enter into that flesh, even though it's only has a little bit of life force in it or energy in it. So they're just trying to absorb what they can, and also not let the soul, not let the flesh rest, or the body rest. Because I think the soul, I think we discussed that the soul stays with the body for at least a year, or revisits it.
11 months, but
So it's attached. So whatever the negative side still is at work and trying to pull you over, pull that body over to the left side.
Correct. And that's why the body decays, because all of the energy is being pulled out of it.
Right.
That's why the body decays in the grave, whereas the soul, that never decays, because it's always being fulfilled, it's always receiving energy.
I've heard over the years that, I know with all this flooding we had, and them opening up some of the grave sites, or the caskets, should I say, some have said that some of the bodies are still intact, like they haven't seen decay. What is all that about?
Well, if you're righteous, there's no connection between you and the negative side. And so there is no decay, because your body parts are all righteous. They're
so
like the soul. They don't decay.
Okay. Because they have said, you know, some of these bodies that have been, you know, buried for quite some time, there was no decay. So you would consider those individuals or that body a righteous soul.
Correct.
Interesting. Because they have
and the only reason they died was so that the rest of us would be given free choice.
Yeah, well, there's been many, you know, again, with all the hurricanes and the flooding, there's been many graves that have floated, or their caskets have floated up, and they had to punch holes in them to drain them, because some water has entered the casket.
Right.
And then they had to open them so that they could place them in another, or contact their families and try to identify them, basically, and to ask if they wanted to leave them in that casket or replace it. So that's kind of why they had to open some of them. Well, all of them that have floated up, actually, so that they could rebury them, because they couldn't.
You're talking about New Orleans or elsewhere?
Oh, no, even where I live, you know, in Benton, we've got grave sites that have, you know, several times, yes. I'm only talking about maybe four or five miles from here, you know.
Did they publicize that they found anybody that was the body that didn't decay?
I don't know if it was publicized. I know that through friends and family that they have said, you know, that that some have not decayed. Not all. I mean, we're talking a very small percent.
Yeah.
You know, not
course.
We're not talking a big percent, but yes.
I've told this story before, but do you remember the civil rights person met with others
yeah.
who was assassinated?
Yes. Say that again. Which one? Who?
And they after 28 years of being buried, they the children or the grandchildren petitioned for another autopsy. So they opened the casket, and the man who was doing the explanation, and I saw this on TV as part of this program that would talk about pathology. So as he said, when he opened the casket, he couldn't believe his eyes, because there had been no decay in the body except in one area. His left hand had decayed, but the rest of his body was totally intact, like he had gone into the grave that day.
Right. I've always heard and saying that the hands are the first to decay. And especially when, this was recently, my neighbor, his father passed away a couple years ago, I guess, at this point. And they decided just to place him in a simple box, which is kind of like a cardboard kind of, sort of, you know, it's a hard plastic kind of thing. And they he went up to finalize the burial, and they had placed plastic bags over his hands, just his hands. And my neighbor asked why, and they said the hands are the first to decay. So they were trying to preserve them until they actually placed them in the ground. So, yeah, that they say the hands are the first to go as far as decay. And,
yeah.
And I wonder why is that. I never asked that question as to why.
The reason is because you're touching negativity with your hands all the time. You eat, that means you're touching space, you're touching food. Your hands are what connect to negativity all the time. This is a world of actions. So there's more negativity attached to your hands than other parts of your body. Another part that goes early is your digestive system, your belly. It'll burst open from the gases, they'd say nominally, but what it is when you're depending on what kind of foods you eat, you either just connect to the negative system or you don't. If you don't, then that part of your body won't decay.
Yeah, well, you know, wow. Yeah, we've had, you know, like I said, a small percentage of individuals that they've opened their caskets and saw that they were not decayed.
About that person when he was alive, they would see he was a righteous person.
Right.
So at 7 o'clock West Coast time, we will have questions and answers. I hope you'll join us. And tomorrow at 4:30, we will do, hopefully we'll finish the section 16 of the Parashah Noah from the Zohar. I bid you all shalom and a beautiful evening.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.